Well, good morning, everyone. We're back in 2 Peter, so please open up your Bibles to 2 Peter. We're going to look at chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And after sharing the importance of God's Word, Peter will warn us about those who do not hold to God's Word. And so let me pray as we get into today's message. Lord God, we thank you once again for being so good to us that we have the Word of God. And we just would love, Lord, for our time here this morning, just reflect on just how you've protected us, Lord, from false teachers. And we pray, Lord, that we will learn about these false teachers so that we will be aware of them and be on the watch. Lord, guard us, keep us safe, and Lord, be with us in this morning. Give us understanding of the text, and may we apply it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. He performed miracles and preached repentance with Jesus. He was one of the 12. He held the money box. And so you know he was a trusted man in the eyes of the disciples. Surely he wouldn't be the one to betray Jesus, but he did. Judas Iscariot. He claimed to be a follower of Jesus, but what was he really? A fake. A wolf in sheep's clothing. Maybe you think Judas was one of a kind. A rare occurrence. But there are many Judases, many who talk the talk but do not walk the walk. They fall away from the truth, and their true colors are revealed. They were never truly believers. Other examples of this in Scripture, we see Demas and Alexander the coppersmith. Demas, he loved the present world and deserted Paul. Alexander the coppersmith also did Paul much harm. Paul told Timothy to be on guard against him, for he opposes the teaching of the apostles. And so our text this morning will remind us of how there are many who follow this path of destruction, the path that may begin with God's word, but ends with the lies of men. And so let's stand for the reading of God's word. Stand with me as we read 2 Peter, chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. The word of God says, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep." You may be seated. And so a couple of weeks ago, we started to examine 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 16 to 21. And in our first message, titled "Eyewitnesses of His Majesty," we learned how the Transfiguration account was great evidence for the return of Christ. And then in our second message, titled "The Light of the Word," we learned how Old Testament prophecy was also excellent evidence for the return of Christ. And so I want you to picture yourself right now in a debate room. On one side, we have the apostles, and on the other side, we have the false teachers. So Peter and the apostles are on this corner, and they're the affirmative side of the coming judgment. And then on the other corner is this negative side, the false prophets and the false teachers who say, no, the return of Christ is not coming. Relax, there's no future judgment. And they're the ones that are going against the word of God. And so Peter just finished his opening statement and why the return of Christ is certain. Now he's going to introduce to us the opponents of this truth. He delivers an important warning. And there's this huge danger we need to be aware of. It's more dangerous than a fire. Let's say a fire happened right now in this building. That would be pretty dangerous. We know our exits. We got to get out. But this fire can only burn down a building. False teaching can burn down souls to hell. And so it's interesting that every New Testament book except Philemon contains a warning about false teachers. And false teaching, we know, can creep into the church when we least expect it. And so today's title for the message is "Destructive Deniers." We're going to learn four key truths about false teachers. Number one, false teachers are destructive. Number two, false teachers are deniers. Number three, false teachers are deceivers. And number four, false teachers will be destroyed. And so let's consider our first truth. False teachers are destructive. Look with me at verse 1 again. Right there in the beginning, it says, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you." And so the false teachers are just like the prophets of the Old Testament that were also false. They do not teach the word like the apostles do. They teach their own opinions. A good question to consider is, where do false teachers come from? Peter tells us that they will arise among us. False teachers tend to be people who have some kind of interest in the things of God. They like religion. They like to feel good about themselves when they do something nice and do some good works. But we know these false teachers need a crowd. They want to feel heard, right? They want people to hear them as they speak up and give their opinions. And so they go by their feelings, not the word of God, which brings us to another question. How do we know that they're false? How do we know these false teachers are false? Well, it's similar to the Old Testament false prophets. We read in Deuteronomy 13 how they told those around them to go after false gods and serve them, right? The Lord is testing them because they were giving a vision or a dream, and even though it might have come true, what were they doing? Well, let's go serve these false idols. And so they seduce many from the way of truth. And so idolatry and false teaching, they go hand in hand. False prophets were in the business of bringing people away from God and towards false gods, to gods that allow all types of sin. Now, false prophets, they promoted the breaking of God's law. And so it shouldn't surprise us that false teachers also influence others to disobey the word of God. Paul was aware of this. He told the Corinthians that he was concerned that they would be led astray like Eve was with the serpent. False teachers are just like their father. They are crafty and they like to boast. We read in 2 Corinthians 11 that they are deceitful workers. They disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. And so let that sink in. False teachers coming to church should not shock us. They learn the church talk. They say the right words, and they look to gain people's trust. False teachers, they play this part, right? They put on the mask, but they're hypocrites. They act one way at church when others are watching, but when they're at home, it's a completely different person. They take off that mask. And so back to our question, how do we know that these false teachers are false? Well, Jesus said it best, we will know them by their fruits. Right, Jesus had that same concern Paul had with the Corinthians. And so he told the disciples to beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And so we can know them by their fruit, right? A good tree produces good fruit. We can look at the eight virtues that Peter just talked about in chapter 1. And then we know that bad trees produce bad fruit. And so, beloved, how seriously do you take that warning from Jesus? Are you alert? If you notice something unbiblical take place, do you speak up? So let's not let any more wolves devour any more sheep in our midst. Now, 2 Peter 2, verse 1 continues by telling us that false teachers will secretly introduce destructive heresies. And so secretly, that can be translated to sneak in. False teachers are sneaky. They share plenty of half-truths like Satan did in the garden, right? You surely will not die. They start to question God's word. And so an example of sneaky false teachers are the Judaizers. Paul said to the Galatians that they sneaked in to spy our liberty in Christ. And so the Judaizers, they were adding to the gospel. Essentially, they were saying, if you don't get circumcised, you're not really a follower of God. And these false teachers would even quote from the Old Testament to promote their false gospel. And so we see that even today with the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. And sadly, many times they can quote more scripture than us. But they always quote them out of context. Now, Peter, he's aware of the sneaky men who had this incorrect eisegesis. Are we aware of it? Can you tell when someone is speaking falsely about God's word? Jude, he mentions how sneaky these false teachers are in verse 4. You can look with me to Jude 4. Very crucial verse for us. Lots of parallel here. We'll see other verses with Jude later. Jude 4 says, "For certain persons have crept in unnoticed." For certain persons have crept in unnoticed. So there's these godly, ungodly people who turn, if you keep reading there, the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want us to notice that there's this spectrum of false teachers. You have those that Paul and Jesus dealt with, right? The Judaizers and the Pharisees who preached the law of God and their man-made traditions, and they also didn't preach any grace. And then you have those like Jude and Peter that they dealt with those who didn't preach the law of God, and they promoted their opinions, and they abuse God's grace. And so they are all sneaky wolves in sheep's clothing, whether they add or take away from the gospel. And they introduce destructive heresies. If you remember in verse 16, when Peter starts his defense, he mentioned that he did not make up the return of Christ. Ironically, the ones accusing Peter of making up stories are the ones making up stories. The word here, destruction, it refers to this eschatological condemnation. It pictures the eternal loss of fellowship with God, and there's no more common grace. The word for heresies can also be translated factions, which we find in the deeds of the flesh, if you know, in Galatians 5, in contrast to the fruit of the Spirit. And so false teachers, they do not have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, and so they're not loving, peaceful, kindful, joyful, people with self-control. They have this party spirit. They have this fleshly, ungodly, unholy life. And they have their opinions, and it's the only way to live life to the fullest. They do not build up the body of Christ. They seek to destroy it with their wasteful ideas. And so false teachers have no business being in a biblical church. They are like a ticking time bomb. They can do great damage if they're not dealt with, either by promoting legalism or, again, the abuse of grace. And so may the Lord protect us from these both types of false teaching. Now, false teachers are not just destructive, they're also deniers. Look with me again to the first verse in 2 Peter, in chapter 2. It says there at the end, "Even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves, many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned, and in their greed, they will exploit you with false words." And so our next question to consider is, what do false teachers deny? False teachers are deniers of the master and the truth. Peter tells us that they deny the master who bought them. False teachers deny the sovereign lordship of Christ. They will not submit their lives to the rule of the master, and it is evident by their sinful actions. And so a good question to ask ourselves is, are we denying him? In other words, do we live a life that appreciates the sacrifice of Christ? His blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus indeed paid it all. But if we're engaging in sins like watching pornography or thinking lustful thoughts, what are we saying? Thanks for dying for me, Jesus, but I'm going to keep following my flesh? And so consider what Paul said to the Corinthians. Flee from sexual immorality. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Now let's address this question that many may ask. What do we do with this text in which Peter uses this language of redemption? Right? In the context of false teachers, we have this language of redemption. Well, we consider the rest of the chapter. Peter uses this language of redemption, the master who bought them, In the same way that he describes the counterfeit salvation of the false teachers at the end of chapter 2. That is, they claim to be redeemed and saved because they were part of the church, but their apostasy showed that they were not true believers. So apostasy is a very important topic we need to address in our text. In Hebrews 6, they're referred to as those who have fallen away. I want you to look with me to Titus. Titus chapter 1, verses 10 to 16 here. A couple books to your left. Titus chapter 1. If you know Titus 1, you'd think of the qualifications of elders. And really important, right at the end, we see that the elders are supposed to, verse 9, hold fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able to both to exhort in sound doctrine, and here it is, to refute those who contradict. And so yes, there will be many that contradict the word of God. And look what he says here to Titus. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. I just want you to see the last two verses here. Look at verse 15. 14. Now, not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. And here it is. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. So you see, there's these people that claim to be believers. And there's two forms of apostasy. Number one, those that have fallen away from true biblical doctrine into heretical teaching, and they claim that that's the real Christian doctrine, right? And so one example would be full preterism, right? The belief that the new heavens and earth, they're here, right? Jesus came back already. That's heretical. And number two, the second form of apostasy is a complete renunciation of the Christian faith, right? They forget all about Jesus, and so maybe you heard of someone that you know who said, yeah, I used to be a Christian. I was a Christian, and not anymore. And so what do we do with that? We know the Bible doesn't teach that Christians can lose their salvation. Jesus said it in John 10, that he gives his sheep eternal life, and that they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of his hand. And so if we can't lose our salvation, how is it that people leave the faith? 1 John 2:9, we know that apostates, what happened? They went out of us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. And so keep in mind, when you read 2 Peter, Peter's focus in this verse is not the atonement of Christ, but rather the abandonment of Christ. One last observation that we can make of this language of redemption is that it mirrors what we see in the Old Testament. We read in Deuteronomy 32, where God is said to have bought Israel, though they rejected him. And so how do we make sense of this? Well, we know that there are many false believers that God redeemed through the Exodus. In other words, just because God delivered them from slavery doesn't mean they were automatically following God. You could just read there in the book of Numbers. But what was the expectation? It would be that as grateful slaves, we will obey the master who bought us. And so the slaves of the master can either be obedient or lazy, right? And a good example of this is when Jesus gave this illustration to Peter to meditate on when he asked the question about God's forgiveness, right? How many times can we forgive our brother? Seven times? No, seven times 70. And he mentions this illustration. A wicked slave who was shown great mercy, but then that wicked slave doesn't show mercy to another slave who owed him a lot less compared to what he owed the king. And so in our text in 2 Peter, we observe these wicked slaves. They are these false teachers who do not take seriously the redemption in Christ. They may say that Jesus died for them, but they abuse his grace. And so what is the result of this great denial? The text in verse 1 in 2 Peter, you can go back, 2 Peter, tells us that they bring swift destruction upon themselves. And we're going to discuss this some more in our last truth about false teachers. But for now, remember that false teachers will be judged for denying the master. But false teachers will also be judged for denying the truth. Look at verse 2 there. Peter tells us, the way of truth will be maligned. In other words, these false teachers are blasphemers. Peter uses the same word in his first letter. Turn to 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. In verses 3 to 5 here, it's kind of looking at some characteristics of the false teachers. In verse 3, we read some of their types of sin. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles. And here it is. Having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them in the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you, but they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And so, that's what false teachers do. They make fun of others who don't act foolishly like they do. They say, well, yes, we are following God, but they're living in sin and they're encouraging others to join them. And so two types of sins that we observe here in our text are the sins of sensuality and greed. All right, so let's talk about the first sin that we see in 2 Peter, the sin of sensuality. This is again about abusing grace. Sins like fornication, sex before marriage would be a good example. So the mindset of a false teacher may be that, well, God created sex. It's a good thing, so go explore. It's no big deal to touch each other intimately when you're engaged or dating. But these are lies from the evil one. Peter, very intelligent, but of course, again, they take verses out of context. Now back to greed. False teachers, they lie for this idol of money. Like Judas, they will betray Jesus for silver. They are these scammers. I don't know about you, but maybe you got a phone call. They're saying they're from Citibank or whatnot, but they're not. Or maybe you got an email from Geek Squad, and you know they even have some typos there. But they are a bunch of scammers trying to steal from you. This is what false teachers do. They are scammers. Jude tells us in verse 16, they flatter people for the sake of gaining an advantage. False teachers, they're selfish. They may act like they're helping others, but their motives are to serve themselves. All they care about is what they will get out of a given situation. Religion is just a great way to increase their popularity and influence. Beloved, be warned. They will look for ways to use you. They may covet what you have, and they will do whatever they can to trade you in for more gold. Paul in Romans 16 says that by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. This brings us to our next truth about false teachers. So false teachers are destructive. False teachers are deniers. False teachers are deceivers. Look back to verse 2 there of 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2 says, many will follow. And so false teachers will deceive many. This is a sad but true reality. People will buy the lies of the false teachers. Jesus said in Matthew 7 that the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter it. Just think about all the false religions and worldviews that there are today, from Scientology to Islam, from the horoscopes to prosperity Christian books. Joel Osteen, he wrote a book called The Power of I Am. And it's not about the great I Am. It's not about the burning bush, right? He says, if you say I am blessed, blessings will come looking for you. Rob Bell, he wrote this book called Love Wins. It was a New York Times bestseller in which he questions that hell is forever. Right? His God, in his mind, wouldn't allow hell to be forever. That's not fair. And so my point in sharing these books is that many have bought them. Just go on Amazon. They have many positive reviews. But these books do not teach God's word. They contradict it. A good question for us to consider is, why is it that these people follow them? Well, unbelievers, They cannot fake it forever. The truth in their hearts will be revealed. They will ultimately follow what they crave, what they lust after. We learn in the parable of the sower that many will hear the word, but the worry of the world and deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it is unfruitful. And so unbelievers, they become distracted with the world. They focus more on finances. And so don't be shocked when people leave the church. They don't want to follow Jesus anymore because their focus is now on their income and social status. And especially in times of persecution, the parable of the sower also teaches that those that had no firm roots in the word, when affliction comes, they immediately fall away. And so, yes, when persecution comes, and maybe it's coming soon to America, there will be many less people in church. Paul told Timothy that the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to the deceitful spirits and the doctrines of demons. Now, these false teachers, they may also promote this false view of sex. If you read there in 2 Timothy, it says that they were those that were forbidding marriage and different foods that you can eat and enjoy that God has given us. And so again, we need to remember there's this spectrum of false teachers. Some promote marriage as a bad thing, and others teach you can marry whoever you want, maybe even a dog. One last observation about this truth is that, talking about many will be deceived, it should cause us to pray for the lost. It should break your heart. It should bring pain knowing that many people are going to be led astray, even someone that you've been going to church with for the last 10 years. And like Jesus did with Judas, Peter is letting us know before it happens that many will be deceived. It's a fact. Again, don't be shocked when people leave the church. Let's consider our last truth here about false teachers. So they're destructive, they're deniers, they deceive many. And number four, they will be destroyed. Look at the end of verse 3 of 2 Peter. It says, their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Peter gives us another guarantee. Yes, many will follow false teachers. They will be deceived. But false teachers will be destroyed. Judgment day is coming soon. Destructive deniers will not get away. God will judge them. In verse 1, Peter said that their judgment will be swift. It's going to take place quickly. It is near. And it's ironic that the false teachers who are destructive will bring destruction upon themselves. And so you can picture Judas. After betraying Jesus, what happens to Judas? He brings destruction upon himself. Peter, in verse 3, is reiterating the certainty of their judgment with an illustration. He says that this judgment isn't sleeping. It's wide awake. Like Judas was destined to perish so that the scripture will be fulfilled, the false teachers will also perish. Think with me again about this debate room that we created, right? We got the apostles and Peter on one side. We got the false prophets and false teachers on the other side. The false teachers are now saying, there is no judgment to come. They argue life is good. We have everything we want. Live life to the fullest, your best life now. Why scare yourself with this judgment talk? God knows we make mistakes. He'll eventually forgive us all. Relax. A commentator writes, when the wicked are successful and their misdeeds go unrequited, men tend to imagine that God is asleep, but his slumber and apparent inactivity should not be misunderstood. In the following verses, verses 4 to 10, Peter will give us evidence for this coming judgment. But in our verse, he is simply stating the claim. God's judgment isn't idle and lazy like wicked slaves. The personification here highlights that destructive deniers have destruction in their rear view mirrors. God's judgment doesn't sleep. It doesn't get drowsy. It's not taking a nap. In other words, no snooze button when it comes to judgment. And Peter ends with this too. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, and here it is, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Jesus said in John 3, he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Beloved, we can rest in this truth. I know it's a hard text to think about, you know, destruction of false teachers, but we can rest in this truth just like we do with the return of Christ. We know that Jesus will save us and bring judgment on his enemies. We may go through suffering now, but one day we will not experience any more pain. But false teachers, they will have their part in the lake of fire forever. And that is a good thing. There will be no more deception. So let me remind you of the four truths that we spoke about today about false teachers. Peter warned his audience about false teachers. They are destructive with their false teaching. They do not teach the word. Instead, they promote their wicked opinions and various sins like sensuality and greed. They are deniers of the master and the way of truth. They are blasphemers and they abuse God's grace. They do not appreciate the sacrifice of Christ. They are also deceivers, and many will follow their ways, but they will not escape God's judgment. And it is coming quickly for them, and it's a guarantee that they will perish. And so, these destructive deniers will deceive many, but they will all be destroyed. And so, why don't we conclude with two applications here. Two applications. And to help you remember them, I want you to picture a shepherd with a rod and staff. We got the picture up there with the wolf, all the sheep. I want you to think about a shepherd, right? He's got his rod and his staff. The rod was used to fight wild animals, and then the staff was used to direct the flock. In other words, when you think of rod, think protection, and when you think of staff, think guidance. All right, so let's look at our first application. The staff or guidance, number one, keep your eyes on the word. We are sheep. All right, we could be dumb. We need to be guided properly in the word of God. Right? You need to be in God's word. We mentioned that a couple weeks ago. If you're not in the word of God, you're an easy target. And so we need to meditate on scripture, memorize scripture, read it. Let the word of God impact you. And if you're not being guided in the word, Satan will look to devour you. Right, these false teachers will easily deceive you. And so don't go with the crowd. Stick to what the Word of God says, even if it's not popular. Application number two. Think of the rod now, or protection. Keep your eyes out for the wicked. Keep your eyes out for the wicked. And so be on guard. We know false teachers will rise among us. And so be ready to expose them. Stop trying to be nice to everyone. Some people do need to be kicked out of the church. It's for the good of the church. A Christian artist, he wrote this song called False Teachers. And the ending of the song goes like this. Creflo Dollar is a false teacher. Benny Hinn is a false teacher. Joyce Meyer is a false teacher. I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive you. Paula White is a false teacher. Fred Price is a false teacher. Kenneth Copeland is a false teacher. Use your discernment. Let the Bible lead you. And so we need to be bold and call them out. You know, I'm very appreciative of this ministry called Wretched Radio. And as I was early in my walk, I was easily getting deceived by some of these false teachers. But they called them out and showed why they were unbiblical. And so this is really important that we call out false teachers. May we turn also from any false way that we may be entertaining. And so I want to end with Paul's encouragement to Timothy in a world filled with false teachers. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Some encouragement here. I know it's not an easy text to deal with. But there's hope. 2 Timothy 4. But these are imperatives. So we need to be active here. Or else we'll be deceived. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 to 5 as we end here. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. And here it is, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Amen. Let's pray.